So today, we get the great honor to talk about Jonah. And our sermon title is Choose or Vomit. Now, my hope is that you'll remember the sermon, Choose or Vomit. And we have 3 points this morning for you: to proclaim, to repent, and to rejoice. Proclaim, repent, rejoice. So here we are. We're talking about Jonah, one of my favorite books of the Bible, again, because so many preachers can relate to Jonah. So Jonah is told by God, go to Nineveh, these wicked people, and proclaim the good news. They are lost sinners in need of saving. And without you, the town is going to burn, essentially. And Jonah replies. He says, God, I don't want to go to Nineveh. They're mean people. They deserve to perish. So what happens? Jonah goes to Joppa. That town sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's right up the road. He goes to Joppa, and he gets on a boat, and he's in the water, and the boat is all over the place, you know? Who's ever been on a boat in the middle of, like, a hurricane or a bad storm? Now, I'm from New Orleans, so that's a lot for me, right? We used to get on the boat, and all of a sudden, a storm would just come from the horizon, and it's scary. So the fishermen get a little concerned, and they confront Jonah. They say, you're running from God. So they're talking to God, and they're talking to God, and Jonah's talking to God. And eventually, what do? They throw him over the boat. Now, where I'm from, that's how you learn to swim. You get thrown out of a boat, right? My wife will tell you the story. Her family threw her out of the boat in Lake Providence, Louisiana, which is just a nasty lake. There might be alligators in there. It just encourages you to learn how to swim. So anyway, he's thrown over the boat, and God rescues him. God rescues him. He swallows him up with a big fish. You guys know the rest of the story, right? So he swallows him up with a big fish, and then what it tells us in chapter 2, verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. It vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, I want you to think, without throwing up this morning, a giant whale going on the shore and puking. That's Jonah. That is the image that we have in our head this morning. That when we avoid the Lord, he has ways to convince us, including throwing us up by a whale or a fish. And down in the south of the Gulf of Mexico, you know how Louisiana is like a boot? The Gulf of Mexico is right there. The legend is that there are catfish that can eat whole people. I don't know if it's true or not. But that's what I was told. And I can just imagine a giant catfish just eating me, right? But the Lord, we should rejoice. Because by chapter 3, verse 10, it tells us this. It tells us that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented. And God didn't change his mind, but he found another way. Now, I want us to think about the Bible as a whole. The Bible tells us from Genesis to Revelation the same story. Now, I just preached this to the youth. I'm sorry if you're hearing it a second time. So, from Genesis to Revelation, it's one story, God's story. And we know by Genesis chapter 2, as we know, we mess up. And God had a plan. That plan was Jesus. That plan forgives us of our sins. And for the people of Nineveh, God had a plan to redeem them of their sinful ways. Now, we have to ask ourselves, how sinful were they? Are they as sinful as the people of today? Do we know? So that brings us to our first point. We have to proclaim. We have to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. God tells us to proclaim to sinners. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Last Sunday we talked about Samuel. The Lord had to go to him 3 times before he would listen. But God still used him. So Jonah is on the second time being swallowed up by a big fish, vomited out on the seashore, but God still uses him and his stench and all. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it, the message I give you. And Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. And now Nineveh was a very large city. And it took 3 days to go throughout it. And Jonah began going on a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, "In 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." Now we have a sinful city of Nineveh, ruled by a powerful king and ruler. Think of the United States. We are probably the most powerful nation in the world. We might be outnumbered by many, but we have the resources. We have the manpower. And think about a young prophet coming in and saying, "You guys are messed up. If you don't repent, the Lord is going to judge you." And we know what we would do. We'd tell him he's crazy. We'd cast him out of town. But that's going to get ahead of my story here. So again, I'm from the outskirts of New Orleans. And when I think of Sin City, I think of pre-Katrina New Orleans. See, where I'm from, everything is gauged by pre-Katrina or post-Katrina. Pre-Katrina of New Orleans was horrible. It was full of sin and every kind of sin you could imagine. I mean, I remember when I was a young kid, I might have been my son's age, like 5 or 6. My dad could tell you the story. But my father and my grandfather and my uncle brought me downtown New Orleans and walked around. And every sin was there. Now, I wonder if the Lord couldn't clear that out. Now, he used Katrina in some pretty incredible ways. And that city is much cleaner today. And maybe that's what God wanted to do with Nineveh. But you had a young prophet, Jonah, who got them straight. And they listened, which is so rare. Because when a prophet comes in and tells you how messed up you are, normally they just kill the prophet. They normally cast that prophet out of town. For Jeremiah, for example, they put him in a giant hole, filled in the hole, and left him to die. But Jonah was faithful. He was faithful to God. So again, we have to ask ourselves, is that individually and as a church community? How is God calling us to do ministry? What is his vision for our church? And we have to be faithful to that because we have two choices. We can either listen to the voice of God and proclaim the good news of Jesus, or we can be thrown up on the seashore. God will get us the direction that we need to go. So the second point this morning is we have to repent. We have to repent. Verse 5 here. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on a sackcloth. So, you guys got your bulletins, right? There's a picture on there from that TV series, Chosen. I haven't got a chance to watch it, but there's a picture of a sackcloth. Now, just imagine an entire city dressed up in those things. Would you guys laugh at them? Maybe make fun of them, you know? That's how they dressed the day that they repented. We're going to talk about why. See, again, they chose to listen to Jonah. That is the first indication that their hearts were open. Now, if I'm sinning and someone comes to me and talks to me about and confronts me on my sin, how I, if I believe them or I don't believe them, that's a telling of my heart, right? If I am told that I need to improve in areas of my life, again, I have to be open to that. If you've ever played a sport in your life or been on a team, you have a coach that tells you how you need to improve, right? Well, God tells us how to improve through each other. We're each other's coaches, see, as the Christian church. Again, people talk about you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Absolutely true. But the church is here to coach us. The church is here to equip us, to equip each other, to hold us accountable. Now let's go back to those sackcloths. We learn that those pieces of clothing is the ultimate outward sign of submission and humility. See, because true repentance of our sins isn't just saying words on a screen or out of a book, but in truth is a life change. See, because what is our verse of the year here? It's 2 Corinthians 5:17, that in Christ we're a new creation, the old is gone and the new has come. So if we are a new creation in Jesus, there has to be change. And that change starts with humility. So it's getting on our hands and knees and saying, Lord God, I am a sinner. Lord God, I am a sinner. I need you. I cannot do this on my own. There are so many people in the world that are hurting, that are trying to do this on their own, and it just is impossible. It's impossible to do it on our own. And the soonest that we gather in our head that we are not God and he is God, the better off we are. Because we know where our shortcomings are. We know where we need help. So, are we going to choose to repent? That's what Scripture tells it. It told the Ninevites. They need to repent. Are we going to repent? Or are we going to suffer the consequences that the Ninevites were going to get? And that is a word I don't talk about a lot in church, but it's God's wrath. God does have wrath. God does have judgment. God loves us enough for us to make our own choices in life. Some free will, per se. So we have to humbly accept and choose to repent before the Lord and to have true change in our life. Because if we have no change, the confession is really not worth anything. Because we're told in James, right, that faith without works is dead. We have to have some works. Not because we're trying to save ourselves. I'm going to continue to say that. I'd be a bad Lutheran if I didn't tell you that. It is because we are saved, we are doing good works, and our good works results in our humility. It's a spiritual discipline. So let me go back again. It said that they fasted. Now, we're not going to raise our hands if we fasted because the Bible tells us that that's a private matter. But we should be fasting. Now, for me, and some people might not like it at church here, we should take a fast from our cell phones, for example. Just turn it off an entire day. Turn it off an entire day. Is it possible? I don't know. I don't know for me if it's possible. I even tried to do a Facebook fast where I deleted the app on my phone. That lasted for like 12 hours, and then I was back on it. That's a problem, right? It's a real problem of our society that we're so close to have digital relationships that we forget how to talk to people. We have to fast. Maybe you need to fast from food. Maybe you need to fast from fast food for a while. Whatever in your life is holding up you and your relationship with God to give it all to him, do a fast in humility. Because that says not only is your mind and thoughts dependent upon the Lord, but your body as well. Your body as well. Again, not all of us can fast from food 100%. As you all may know, my pancreas has not developed all the way. So I have a real struggle with fasting from food all day, and that's okay. But there's other things that I can fast from. All right, so lastly, point three here. We have to rejoice in the Lord. Now, every Sunday, I ask people during the prayer time, where have you seen God this week? This is your cue to start thinking. Where have you seen God at work this week? Where is God at work in the world? Despite the nonsense going on in the world around us, God's at work. Because our citizenship is in God, in Jesus Christ. It's not in the world. We have to see him at work. We have to proclaim and rejoice that we have the honor to proclaim the good news, that we have the opportunity to repent from our sins, and that we get to have humility. We get to rejoice in what God is doing in the world. You know, this baptism this morning, for example, is, what, over 2,000 years of the church tradition that we bring the children forward and we baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a proclamation to the world that God is real that God claims us. That doesn't matter what birth certificate we have, that we are in the kingdom of God. Right? So, this morning, as we have been talking about visioning and mission for our church, as we've been talking about choosing or being vomited this morning, there's a board out there when you walk into the church, and it says two questions on it. How is God speaking to you, and what do you see for our future? Now, I believe, and I believe through Scripture, it tells us in Ephesians 4, that in the body of Christ, all of us are given gifts of the Spirit. Meaning every single person here who has been baptized has been given a gift from the Holy Spirit to use for ministry. Because we are called to ministry at our baptism. We are called to ministry at our baptism. All right? You can take that to the bank. We must listen to the voice of God. And if you haven't heard God's voice lately, it's because you're not listening. It's because you haven't quieted your head, been alone with the Lord, and asked God directly, God, what are you calling me to do? How can I be used for you? As Samuel did in last week's scripture, here I am, a servant of yours. Use me. So, in 30 days, I want that board out there filled up. 30 days. That's quite a bit of time, right? So I want you to go before God and ask him, how is God speaking to you, and what do you see for our future at First Lutheran Church? And it may be crazy ideas that the Lord gives you. But you know what? You don't have to sign your name to it. You don't have to sign your name to it. So fill that board up for me. That's our response this morning. Some churches have altar calls. That's our altar call this morning. A response to the Lord. A response to God. So how is God placing this vision? To proclaim, to repent, and to rejoice at what God is doing among the earth, among us as the children of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your holy word, for your prophet Jonah, getting them to repent and humility that you are God. Help us do the same. Help us be your children that without compromise, God, that we live out faithful lives for you. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.